This is KFIZ Radio and First Presbyterian Church, located at 1225 4th Street here in Fond du Lac. Thank you for joining us this morning in prayer and devotion.
Remember that our Lord Jesus can sympathize with us in our weakness, since in every respect he was tempted as we are, and yet without sin. Let us then, in boldness, approach the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Forgiving God, we have messed up in so many ways. You gave us a wonderful world filled with beauty, power, and majesty, and we have ravaged it, tearing away at its gifts with our own greed and cowardice. We have not treated this world or one another with compassionate love. We have turned our backs on situations of need in which we could have been instruments of help, healing, and peace. We have neglected service to others and have focused our lives on accumulating things and status. We have chased after false gods, greed, power, and fame. You are the potter, O Lord. You fashioned us, but we focused on developing our flaws rather than working with our strengths. The first psalm describes two different paths of life, one for God's good and the other for destruction. God, through the psalmist, declares there are two ways of being human, and what we choose to meditate on makes all the difference. Let us read responsibly Psalm 1. The truly happy person doesn't follow wicked advice, doesn't stand on the road of sinners, and doesn't sit with the disrespectful. Instead of doing those things, these persons love the Lord's instruction, and they recite God's instruction day and night. They are like a tree replanted by streams of water, which bears fruit at just the right time, and whose leaves don't fade. Whatever they do succeeds. That's not true for the wicked. They are like dust that blows the wind blows away. And that's why the wicked will have no standing in the court of justice, neither will sinners in the assembly of the righteous. The Lord is intimately acquainted with the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked is destroyed.
Today's Gospel reading, prescribed by the Revised Common Lectionary, is from Luke's Gospel, the 14th chapter, verses 25 to 33. Listen for the word of the Lord. Large crowds were traveling with Jesus. Turning to them, he said, "Whoever comes to me and doesn't hate father and mother, spouse and children and brothers and sisters, yes, even one's own life, cannot be my disciple. Whoever doesn't carry their own cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. If one of you wanted to build a tower, wouldn't you first sit down and calculate the cost, determine whether you have enough money to complete it? Otherwise, when you have laid the foundation but couldn't finish the tower, all who see it will begin to belittle you. They will say, 'Here's the person who began construction and couldn't complete it.' Or what king would go to war against another king without first sitting down to consider whether his 10,000 soldiers could go up against the 20,000 coming against him? And if he didn't think he could win, he would send a representative to discuss some terms of peace while his enemy was still a long way off. In the same way, none of you who are unwilling to give up all of your possessions can be my disciple." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
So did you hear what Pastor just read to us today? That kind of sounds a little tough, all that work that Jesus wants us to do. So it reminds us that following Jesus, following God, is not easy. And I was kind of thinking a little bit about the hokey pokey. Bear with me for a second. But the hokey pokey, have you ever done the hokey pokey? No, I didn't think so. But a lot of people in here have. When I was a kid, we did. Even my kids did. And so in the hokey pokey, sometimes you put your right hand in. Then you got to remember, which one is my right hand in? And then you shake it. And then you take it out and you shake it. And then you put your left hand and your left hand and your foot and your other foot. And then there comes to be a point where you put your whole body in and everything shakes all at the same time. Well, it kind of reminds me what Jesus is talking to us about a little bit here is sometimes, because it's not easy to follow Jesus, sometimes we do just one hand. I'll just do little bits. I'll do it here. But maybe not so much over here. I'll do it when it's easy, but maybe not when it gets a little tough. When we follow Jesus, we love other people. We show kindness. We do all those things, even when it's tough. But sometimes when it gets a little tough, we start to think, I'll just do this little part. Or I'll do it when I'm at church on Sunday. I'm all in. I'm all in the middle and I'm shaking all about. But, ooh, for all the drivers out there, when you're in a big traffic jam and you're really frustrated, not so much in now, right? Or maybe when you need to be kind to someone or share with someone who hasn't been very nice to you, it's a little hard. But Jesus wants us to do those things all the time, to be all in all the time, to be all in every day, not just on Sundays or on Mondays, to be in all the time and everywhere, not just here at church, but or home or school, but when you're playing outside on the playground or when you're playing a game or soccer or anything like that, all the time, everywhere. So you've never played, we'll have to do the hokey pokey sometime in Sunday school. But for all your grown-ups, I want you to think about that. Are you all in all the time or just a little bit? Let's take a little time and let's talk with God about that. Heavenly gracious God, we thank you so much for the love that you share with us each and every day. And we ask that you would help us to share that love, to be all in, everywhere, all the time, with you. We know we do these things not so that you love us, but because you love us. We ask that you would help us to share your love with each person we meet. We pray all these things in Jesus' name, and all God's children said, Amen.
Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for all that you do for us, all that you have done for us. As we gather together, may we hear your spirit afresh. May we feel your presence in a powerful way. May we trust you, follow you. May we put our entire selves all in to serve you and to serve your kingdom. Speak to us. In Jesus' name, amen. This can be a difficult text. I wanted to do a little preface before I started reading it, because I'm afraid that as I read this text, there were probably more than one or two of you who got caught up in that first line and started pondering, does Jesus actually command us to hate our family? I've heard people use this passage in that exact manner. They quote Jesus, maybe a little bit out of context. Whoever comes to me and doesn't hate father and mother, spouse and children, brothers and sisters, even one's own life, you cannot be my disciple. But yet, Jesus doesn't command us to hate in the way that we might normally be thinking. It's unfortunate that most English translations still use this word hate, even though it is an accurate translation of the original Greek. The word hate in verse 26, it's missio. In the Koine Greek, it's used in this manner to write this letter, and it does translate word for word as hate. Hate is often understood as the antithesis of loving. When we hear this word, hate, we typically have some sort of a definition and understanding of it along the lines of extreme ill will, having a passionate aversion to something. I can't stand it. Treating something or even someone as an enemy. This word can also be used with hyperbole. In the original Greek language, the word hate can be used in that sense of moral comparison, meaning to love less, to reduce the importance of one thing in comparison to another. That's the case here in this passage. When Jesus says to hate our family, to hate ourselves, it's in comparison. When we take into account the larger context of today's gospel letter, we see that expectation to hate is connected with carrying our own cross, following Jesus, being a disciple of Jesus. To hate one's own family is Jesus' way of naming that seriousness of taking this journey with him to Jerusalem. Because remember, here in Luke's gospel, chapter 9, verse 51 is a pivotal verse. That verse says, as the time approached when Jesus was to be taken up to heaven, he determined to go to Jerusalem. Some translations would say he set his face toward Jerusalem. He didn't look back. He didn't look left or right. That is the primary focus from chapter 9, verse 51, until he dies on the cross. Just before Luke makes this pivotal shift in his writing, we hear Jesus talking about the demands of discipleship earlier in this letter. Luke wrote, "Those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will save it." There, Luke is showing us that to be a disciple of Jesus, it leads us to a death that opens a door to life. It's a crucifixion, a mini death, a little death that leads us into a new life. Another way of hearing this, I like how one commentator wrote it, is that the cost of discipleship is better than the loss of discipleship. Let me repeat that. The cost of discipleship is better than the loss of discipleship. In today's passage, Jesus is telling us that to hate everything in order to be a disciple of Jesus, we need to reduce the importance of anything and everything in comparison to our commitment to living out that kingdom choice of following Jesus. It's where he gets into the comparison building of going to war. We might have all sorts of different comparisons in our life. What football team would take the field knowing that they had a team of third graders going against professional football players? That just would not be fair. It would be a brutal slaughter. We don't enter into discipleship, into our commitment to be God's faithful people, nilly-willy, without considering what are the real costs. My own personal translation of this verse is this. Whoever comes to me and doesn't love God more than everything and everyone, even themselves, can't be my disciple. And maybe that doesn't give quite as much power as Jesus felt that it needed. And I think sometimes we need to be a little bit more powerful in what we expect of one another as Christians. Now, this verse is really nothing more than a restatement of the first commandment with a little practical application. Remember the first commandment? Thou shalt have no other gods before me. If you love anyone or anything more than you love God, you're not making the right choices to live a kingdom life. Practical way for us to evaluate our lives is to look at our checkbooks, look at our day planners to figure out how much money, how much time are we spending. And if God is getting a whole lot less, we're making the wrong kingdom choices. And we need to start making some strides getting that corrected. To carry our cross is a daily struggle. Commitment must be renewed every day when we're confronted with a temptation to lay it down, to give up. What if Jesus' demand of hating family is to refuse to live by narrow, exclusive ideas of family when it comes to meeting human needs, contributing to the wholeness of human beings, when we expand it beyond our biological families? What are the ways in which we love our identity of being a church family? The Presbyterians, at the expense of truly being a family of God. Now, we wouldn't do that at all, would we? We do it all the time. Whenever we focus on those things that set us apart from other Christians, Lutherans, Catholics, Methodists, non-denominationals, on and on and on. Whenever we focus on those differences, then we love being Presbyterian more than we love being Christian. Now, I'm not saying we need to all agree, set aside every difference in our theology and beliefs in order to be disciples of Christ. No, what I'm saying is that we need to learn how to focus more on what we all agree with. We need to learn afresh how to have healthy conversations, listening to the other person, not in order to prove ourselves right and to have some sort of defense against them, but to truly listen, to learn how we can better love God together more than we love ourselves and the perceived comfort of being a faith family in a certain way that we're used to. We have to be willing to let go of everything to truly trust God to provide for all our needs. To trust God rather than us proving that our understanding of God is right. One final point I want to make today. In Luke's gospel, we don't take this journey of discipleship alone. His disciples don't, and we don't either. Our journey is only possible because of Jesus' journey. As Luke reveals a little bit later, even that most determined disciple, Simon, who became Peter, he fails to make good kingdom choices by denying Jesus three times, by abandoning discipleship to go back to fishing. But the gospel story doesn't end with those situations. And it's also in reading all the gospel accounts together that we find the hope to continue on our journey together. It's in John's gospel, the 21st chapter, that Peter really learns about making kingdom choices, what it means to love God more than anything else. It's there in John 21, after Jesus, resurrected Jesus, meets the disciples there on the shore. When he asks Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" Pointing to the fish that are there on that charcoal fire. Peter made that decision to go back to his old way of life, to go back to fishing. Didn't know what else to do. At least six other disciples went along with him and said, "Yep, we're right there with you. Let's go back to it." And they failed miserably all night long. As they came ashore, this guy on the shoreline says, "Hey, cast your net on the other side." Whatever. Miraculous catch. And they realize it's Jesus. Their eyes are opened. And as they sit there, and Peter smells that same charcoal fire that he had smelt the night that he had denied Christ three times and heard the rooster crow, Jesus meets him right where he's at. It's an important, mysterious grace. It is presented there. Jesus meets him, loves him, forgives him, and encourages him to continue the journey, be a disciple together with the other disciples. It's only through Jesus' faithful journey of accomplishing our redemption on the cross that transforms and sustains our journey. Simply put, it's God's grace that makes our journey of discipleship even possible. It's only by God's love for us that we're able to love God more than we love everything else. For us to continue our journey with Jesus, to make kingdom choices, we need to learn together what it means to love God with all our heart, our soul, our strength, and our mind. May we allow the love of God to nourish us and strengthen us as we break bread together this morning, that we might be able to make kingdom choices in all that we say and all that we do. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you for joining us in this time of prayer and devotion. We are First Presbyterian Church in Fond du Lac. We are Christians serving, learning, and loving. For more information about us, our phone number is 920-922-0425. You can find us on the web at www.fdlpresbyterian.org. We are located at 1225 4th Street and have in-person worship on Sundays at 9 a.m. Staff nursery is available for 3 years and under.